co-chairpersons and members. We only received two apologies from Ms. Coleman and Mr. Singh, but they will be joining us later. So they're not staying.
Thank you very much. And as agreed, let's allow the research committee, or team rather, to present their findings. Sure.
Thanks, Chair, and good afternoon to honorable members. I think I also take this opportunity to welcome you on behalf of the staff for this new year. My briefing will be brief, Chair. For example, let us start to slide number 9 of the presentation. If you look at slide number 9, there are issues that I've raised, the issues of a concern that I raised for that slide number 9. Firstly, you will notice that slide has got met, not met, annual, not target, no target. But it's just that this one is black and white, but it was the colors were green, red, and gray. But I want to put an emphasis in the slide number 9 in the presentation. But I want to put an emphasis on this annual target. I think it's going to be the second time we raise this thing. I think the inability of the parliament to not able to break down the what they call annual target and quarterly targets, it defeats the whole purpose of this thing that the quarterly report that we're doing, because we're supposed to track the ongoing progress. How are we going to track the ongoing progress in the annual target, something that's going to be seen in the later of the year? So we're still considering that there's nothing actual that calls annual target, because the annual target can be broken down in according to key milestone. For example, there's the one, if you look in program 4, there's the one they see it in program 4, slide number 31. For example, if you go to slide number 31, program 4, they talk about client satisfaction level. And then they said the project is in execution and the final report is due to Parliament in March 2018 to meet the target set in fourth quarter. Human Resource Council has been appointed to conduct the client satisfaction and turn externally. Final report is be produced in fourth quarter. Like, for example, that target, the final report, there are a lot of milestones, for example, in order to produce a final report. For example, they could broken down that final report, not say this is an annual target. They could say that what the determination of the structure of the report, collating a data, analysis and interpretation of a data, a draft report, thereafter a final report. These are the key milestones that are supposed to be measured quarterly. Because even that service provider, you don't pay the service provider once, you pay the service provider in trenches. So it means that they cannot account on, for example, current this quarter, they have spent 104% in this program for where there's not even a single target that they reported on. They say that the all targets are annual targets. So if you can ask where do you spend, in which targets have you spent this money on? They can't answer, they can't account. So that's the problem that we have on this thing of having annual targets. In fact, I repeat again, there's nothing called annual targets. We're supposed to break down this annual into quarterly. As I made an example on that final report, before you reach a final report, there are a lot of key milestone processes in order to, before you can reach in the final report. So that's what we expected, this one thing, so that we can track the own progress. Just imagine we are oversight board, including them, because one of the purposes of this quarterly reports is to track the performance. It's a key, it's a management tool to track the progress, and also us as a oversight instrument in the oversight board, as an oversight instrument in order to monitor them. So just imagine if this report, we cannot even trace whether how far this report, the progress in terms of finalizing this report. We don't know at the end of the year, and then we don't know the report has never been able to be finalized. The reason are APCD. And then we just start here about this thing at the end of this. That is wrong. And then I repeat, there's nothing called like an annual report. So, and again, one thing that I've also highlighted is that if you also consider, they say that it's annual is fine, but consider again, if you look at that slide number 9, they say you take what they say, they've got annual, they've got quarterly. But why are they annual? targets are fluctuating quarterly, because annual is supposed to be consistent throughout the year. You cannot have annually on the quarter one was 33, whatever, was 9. On quarter two, we have got annual now, which is, how much? 16, and then quarter three, then it's another amount. Why? Because ideally, I mean, if you have that so-called, according to them, annual, it's supposed to be consistent. Why is it fluctuating per quarter? So I think we need to have get explanation or rather clarity. In fact, the first thing, Chair, that I want to that we have to put an emphasis is that there's nothing called annual target. There's no target that cannot be broken down into quarters. And in particular, this one of HRC, where you employ a service provider, you don't pay a service provider once, you pay the service provider into tranches. So you want to tell me that the employees that are employed there, they can't be trained. And another thing, one of the things that I also highlighted here was, was this, again, for example, if you look at the slide number 9 again, they are saying that the quarterly, there were 10 targets for this quarter 3, and then 8 has achieved, as you've seen, that's 8 indicators, and 2 has not achieved. But when they report, I don't know what the meaning of 42% and 41 and 10.5 and 47, because ideally, if you have got the 10 targets that were applicable for the third quarter and we achieve 8, then 8 out of 10 is 80% that they've achieved. So I don't know the way they presented the information. I don't get the meaning of this 42 and also the meaning of 47, because the annual, we are not measuring annual in quarter. We measure the annual at the end of the financial year. Why now? I don't get the understanding the present year with the way that they present. They've got this 42 and for example, 42.11. And before I conclude, Chair, the another thing that I find out was the is the anomaly in the spending in the financial before that there's the inconsistency of non-achievement of some targets. For example, there's a target in program number 1 which was supposed to table 100% of governance documents according to the FPMLA. This target have never met since the previous year, even in these three quarters of the financial year. Of this current financial year, even the previous financial year, this target have never met. It's just consistently not met. And what is also worrisome is that the reasons that they give for this are vague. I mean, they are not even the mitigation plans are just irrelevant. And another one under financial information, anomaly spending. I've discovered that, for example, in program 2, there are most of sub in the under program 2, there are sub programs which include the secretary's office, project, legislative sector support. If you go to look in under slide number 22, that thing is under slide number 22 of the presentation that given by Parliament. If you look at that, those sub programs, secretary's office has spent 54%. Legislative sector support has spent 49% up to date annually, and the project has spent 53%. If you look at that slide number 22, the annual they spent 54% of the annual budget to date, that is at the end of the third quarter, and they spent legislative support sector is spent 53% as at 49% as at the third quarter end project. And I think this low spending need to be on them to get whether they have any plans to spend the funds under this program by the end of the financial year. Another thing before the last chair is that there is also a clarity that we need to get here. In quarter two, they reported that under the project, they spent 55.92%. But now, current in this quarter three, they reported that they spent 53%. I mean, there's nothing that doesn't make sense here. In quarter two, you spend 55%, 55.92 of the annual budget. Currently, you spend 53.
Just repeat that one. I missed something.
I'm saying also, if you look at, I made an excerpt. In quarter two, they reported that they spent 55.92 under project. That is sub-program project in program under program 2. Currently, in quarter 3, they reported that they spent 53% of the annual budget up to date. There's something that it doesn't tell. You can't say that in quarter 2 we spent 55.92 of the annual budget that we've allocated. And then quarter three, you said you spent 53% of the annual budget that you've been allocated. Why is it decreasing? I think we need to get some clarity. It doesn't make some sense. And the last one is also in program three. If you consider slide number 27, the program three, there is a overspending done by the occurred under the deputy secretary core business. Then the reason that are given by the parliament, say it relates to payment of women's parliament invoices, which happened and was budgeted for during the second quarter, but payments were made in third quarter. That is the main reason that the deputy secretary core sub-program is overspent, because it paid, there were invoices that were payment for women's parliament invoices. And I can understand on the other hand. On the other hand, when in slide number 23, when they justify the low spending of legislative sector, why there's a 49% slow spending under program two of the legislative sector, they said it was because this is the result of cancelled sector program as well of women's parliament was converted into seminar. Then I left in pausing. Was there any women's parliament? One, they said that there was women's parliament take place. Another one, when the justification for low spending in the legislative sector support, they said that no, we converted a women's parliament to a seminar. So that meaning there has never been any women's parliament. Of which the reason that was given to the overspending on the sub-program deputy core secretary was that it's because of the invoices payment for women's parliament invoices. I mean for women's parliament. So really, number one, the question that I'm having that I've raised here was that we need a clarity to sort of clarity on whether or not this women parliament has happened. If yes, why is sub-program deputy core secretary funded such occasion? If not, how does the parliament relate the overspending under sub-program deputy secretary call to such? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much for that presentation. Are there any additions?
Good afternoon, members. In the research paper, you start at section 5 of the research paper, where it says performance information review. It's section 5. And then it says performance information review. It's program one. Program one is the strategic leadership and governance, which include the office of the speaker, the office of the chairperson of the NSOP, the office of treasury advisory treasury office, and the IOSD, the office of the institution supporting democracy, and the PBO, the budget office. It includes all those offices, and it's under the strategic leadership and governance. And it has got only three performance indicators. One performance indicator was not achieved, and that performance indicator will never be achieved, is the one that Parliament has to submit the financial statement monthly, table them in the House on a monthly basis. But in November, it was not achieved. And also, it will never be achieved every year because Parliament closes on the 15th of December. And then after that, it has to table that the financial statement. But it couldn't because Parliament was closed. That's why it didn't achieve, I assume. So maybe they can speak for themselves. But according to my opinion, it will never be achieved, which means Parliament will sound as if it's not complying with the Act fully because it's not submitting the the November financial statement on time. I'm sure it was tabled after in the new year now. So it's there are three performance indicators. When we calculated the average of overall performance on that program, the program as a whole, it goes to 66.7. They should have 100% in the not 66.7. Because 66.7, because they didn't comply with the act in submitting the financial statement, the monthly financial statement in November. So also there's that Treasury Advisory Office. That office has been vacant for a long time. It's the requirement of the act that there should be that office. And it's not functional because there's no one body there to exercise the services. And it needs to be filled because it's the requirement of the act. It's legislated that the Speaker's office must have that office. For example, for now, Parliament is using the CFO in order to help the Speaker in terms of finances. That is it might be the conflict of interest because the CFO should account with the accounting office to the office of the Speaker, not to assist the office of the Speaker. Because if they develop some information on financial management, then how can they account on something that they develop themselves or the Speaker? There should be that Treasury Advisory Office in order to help the Speaker to hold the accounting officer to account to it. And it's very important. It's the requirement of the Act. I think the committee should look at it and take it serious. It's not filled ever since the Act was implemented, the position in the office of the Speaker. And then there is a program two. Program two is the administration. In the administration, is the same thing that the content advisor talked about, those annual targets. The annual target, they should report on progress, which means in the first quarter, they should have done something on the annual target where you can say we have done so much and we perform up to this end. And then they report only in the fourth quarter of the year, which means the information is hidden there. For example, if you go to the success rate of that program, it's about 75%, because some targets, the performance indicators, are regarded as the annual target. They were not reported on. They've done something, but they didn't report. Because they didn't report the overall performance of the program, it falls to 75%, of which they could score 100% on that if they would report on those targets. They have done something, but it's just they don't report on that because they say they are annual targets. They have to report at the end of the fourth quarter. So we want to jump now to program three. Program three is the core business. Core business previously had many performance indicators, but now they are reduced to three when they review the PAA. There is one that is called service charter. Service charter has encapsulated lots of activities, research, content, advice, and legal advice. You don't see them now, but they are under that service charter. They are called service charter. As a result, those in performance indicators, they are reduced into three. This program, core business, is the one that had many performance indicators than any other program, but now they are reduced into three. It's the smallest now in terms of numbering the performance indicator. So in that service charter also, I'm sure when they report, it should be clear that on what they are reporting on, because they can hide a lot of information. For example, as I say, it encapsulated many services like research, legal advice, content advice. All that is under that service charter. It's not reported out. It's only say the service charter perform, but they should report on individual activity. Yes, it can be service charter, but also it must be outlined each activity, how much it has performed. So if you look at the the service rate of that program, it fell into 33.3%. The program as a whole, not the performance indicator. The program as a whole, we rated it as to how much it has performed. It fell into 33.3%. But if you look at the service charter, it's only the service charter that was reported. It has got about 94%, 94.6%. It's 94.6% because they say the interpreters and translation, they didn't perform because of the capacity problem. So when you look at the overall problem, it dropped that to 33.3%. But when you look at the service charter, it's 94.6%. So it's a problem when they report, it might not reflect the true, it might not be the true reflection of what they've done, because there is the manner they report. I think the issue here is they should look at the reporting format and look at the way that they craft their performance targets. So that needs to be taken seriously also. So we go to Program 4. Program 4, they didn't report at all on Program 4. If you look at it, it says annual targets, all of them. Whenever they say annual target, they don't give much information as to how it has performed up to date. But in Program 4, all those targets are annual targets. They are classified as annual targets, which means they didn't report on Program 4. As a result, it got zero. When we rate it, we come up with a success rate of the program, of the whole program. It got zero according to our rating. But they have performed under that program. But the thing is, they didn't report, which means the information didn't come up. Yeah. There is also Program 5. Program 5 is associated services. This one includes the monies that are transferred to political parties and the publication of handbooks and all that. The success rate there, it fell to 75% because they achieved the one indicator that says handbook. It was supposed to be published on the 31st of October. Then they published it. And the payment to reimbursement of members, the target was set to 2.7, but they were able to pay it within 2.23 days. They were able to, which means they exceeded the target in that, in terms of paying reimbursement to members. And then 100% include now the payment to political parties, the transfers to political parties. They said they achieved 100% by the third quarter. Now we go to Section 6. Section 6 is the financial performance review. Program 1, also we go back to the strategic leadership and governance. And it's divided into two. There's a reporting on quarterly financial spending and on annual financial spending. We've got two tables there if you look at it. We start with the quarterly one. The quarterly one is just they remain now with 0% at the end of the quarter. They exhausted their budget, which means it's a well performance in terms of financing. Then they spend everything. They overspend slightly by 1%. But we take it as if they spend optimally. So, and then the Office of the Supporting Democracy in that period, it overspent its own budget under that program by 32%. So we jump to the annual, the next table is the annual budget for Program 1. In the annual budget for Program 1, the office of the institution supporting democracy is overspent by 17%. When you look at the overall budget of that program now, the Program 1, it's 0% now, which means they don't have money to fund the fourth quarter because already they've exhausted their money now. They have zero. They've spent everything. They won't have money for the fourth quarter according to that program, unless otherwise they will get money within the budget of Parliament. But according to their allocation to that program, it reflects that they don't have money to start the fourth quarter, because this is the annual budget that they exhausted now. So we go to Program 3 under the financial reporting. Program 2. In Program 2, the internal audit unit has significant underspending because they underspent by 60% in the third quarter. They didn't use 60% of their budget in the third quarter. They only use 40%. They should maybe clarify why, because they cannot allocate money, because whenever you allocate money, you allocate it according to your plan. If you don't spend the money, which means you didn't exhaust you didn't execute your plan. So there is also projects. We just highlight the ones that you know. Okay, there's another one, the Registrar of Members' Interest. They have overspent their budget there on quarterly basis on the third quarter by 19%. And then we go to project. Project also has overspent by 30% in the third quarter. Their quarterly budget, not the annual budget. Now we go to the annual budget, the next table from there. So the next table, we go to internal audit. Now internal audit annually is underspent by 30%. It dropped, but the quarterly budget on the third quarter, it was underspent by 60%. But when you look on annual budget, now they have underspent annually by 30%. You go to Registrar of Members' Interest. Now they have overspent annually by 3%. They exhausted their budget. There's no money for the third quarter, which means there's no money for the third quarter, because already at the end of the third quarter, they have overspent their budget by 3%. They won't have money for the third quarter, fourth quarter, unless they will search and find money somewhere. But according to that program, not the overall budget of Parliament, according to that program, the members' interest won't have money to be funded on the fourth quarter. And then projects. Projects also have overspent by 2%. Now also they don't have money for the fourth quarter. They have exhausted their budget, even overspent it. So we go to Program 3, the core business again. Core business has overspent all the items there. The Office of the Deputy Secretary has overspent quarterly on the third quarter budget. Because now we must remember their budget now is allocated by court, as the committee requested that. But it's not yet done the way we want, because you allocate it per quarter and also you attach it in those performance indicators. So those performance indicators should be in line with the budget that we spend. But they just allocated it per quarter, which means as they overspend and underspend, they might have not planned it. They just put money in the quarter. They just divided money, not putting it according to their plan. That's why you have this problem of overspending, underspending, because the budget is not in line with the plan, although it's quarterly, but it might not be in line with their plan. So the Office of the Deputy Secretary also overspent in that quarter. The National Assembly also overspent by 10%. The International Relations and Protocol overspent by 12%. The NSOP has underspent by 4%, which means it doesn't have money also for the fourth quarter, according to the program. Core business support has overspent also by 14%. Knowledge and information services have overspent by 1%. The whole program in the third quarter is overspent by 9%, which means that program at the end of the third quarter, its quarterly budget of the third quarter is overspent it by 9%. And then there's the annual, the next table is the under core business, is the annual budget on program three. Program three also, the Office of the Deputy Secretary has exhausted the annual budget according to that program. And the National Assembly has underspent annually by 2%, which means there's exhausted money, there's no money at all. The NCOP is left with 16% of its annual budget. The international relations protocol has spent 100%, has exhausted its own annual budget. Core business support has overspent by 1%. Knowledge and information services.
Yeah, I think in the point that you are talking to, the issue of overspending, underspending, them having to come and explain why things are like this, I think has been made. I think it's very clear. You may want to move on to the next point.
Okay. And then we go, it's the end now. The issues to be considered by members. We just highlighted very important issues. But some
is your hand up, Honorable Sid? Oh, okay.
Yes, the issues to be considered by the committee. Parliament did not comply with the Act FMPPLA in terms of tabling the financial monthly financial statement, as we said earlier. And then some targets were regarded as annual targets, and the progress made on those targets was not reported quarterly. And then and there's another one that is some measurable and quantifiable targets were not costed. As we say, now you should link the budget to the indicators, not only allocate according to the quarter. Compliance with prescripts and regulations. This target was not achieved previously in the previous quarters, but in the third quarter they achieved that target because before there was a lack of administrative coordination in the Office of the Secretary. But now they said they have indicated that operating procedures have been strengthened in that office. Hence, they achieved it in the third quarter. That's the end of the presentation.
Thank you very much, Mr. Tlhekiso, for that input. I believe that is all from your side, isn't it? Okay, members, the matter is open for discussion. Over to you, Mr. Waters.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the presentations. And I speak as a layman in financial terms, you know, so I'm not an expert, but I just want to. My understanding is we're dealing with the third term, right? So it's 9 months into the year, and roughly. Each line item should be about 75% spent, right? To give, I mean, it doesn't always work like that, but roughly 75%. Now, if you look at page 18, just the summary there on program one, I mean, every single line item bar one is way over 75%. Page 18 of the slides of the big document. Yeah. I'm just, you know, so. Only goods and services is under 75%, or anywhere near that. Well, that's way under. It's at 45. That's also a problem in itself. But and then if you go to page 22 for admin program, I mean, there again, only legislative sector support is under 75, and also internal audit is under 75%. But others are way over. You know, in the 80s and 90s, and even some 100%. Similarly with program three on page 27. So, and it goes on, Chair, I'm not going to go through every, but my fear is we've basically run out of money. but we've spent our budget. And how are we going to function as a parliament for the next quarter? I don't know, I suppose dip into reserves if we have any left. And also salaries of employees, how are they going to be paid if we don't have money to pay them? I think it's a serious question. I don't know if I'm being overdramatic, you know, but I think we need an answer with regards to that. Please, thank you.
I'm sorry, co-chair?
No. I'm saying, if you can just go to that one, Honourable Waters. On your page 22, for instance, you're correct. Quarter October to December. In other words, the fourth column where you talk about 80% and 109% and so on. That's for the quarter, but the next one will talk to year to date. Yeah, so the quarter might be over, but year to date they have money. I think the question that we need to ask is why are you not planning correctly per quarter? Financially there's no problem, but I don't think that they are planning their activities to match with the rands and cents. That's the issue.
Right, but I mean some are grossly over. So if you look on page 22 where we are, let's just look at registered members' interests, 103% over. Okay, maybe it's not a big line item, but the fact of the matter is, so where is that money going to, for the fourth quarter, where will that money come from in order to pay for that office physically? I mean, that's what I would like to know. And you can go on, I think there's also compensation of employees, there you go, underneath there, right? So that's a big line item. They've already spent 102% of their budget in three, for the, no, year to date, 102%. So they've exhausted their budget for compensation of employees.
For the quarter?
No, year to date.
So
year to date. So that means for the three quarters, for the nine, as far as I'm reading it, the 9 months, you see it on page 22. Right.
Okay.
So the first 9 months have exhausted the entire budget.
Okay, let's allow the prudent advisor. I think he wants to come in. Sure.
Look, Chair, thank you for this. Honourable Waters, you are correct with this information. I know you have got a wrong information. What happened was that, Chair, that was the first presentation sent by Parliament. Those lines were overspending. And what the current one that was sent by CND on Thursday, Friday, they have amended. We met with them, I think, on Wednesday last week. And then when we engage, we normally have some informal meetings before they come as Connect Advisors in the research. And then when we engage with them, say that, no, you can't say this annual because their annual was based on the quarter and the total budget of the quarter. And say that the annual is based on the annual budget. So that information, that presentation that we have is the wrong information. The current one, like if you're looking at the current one, the compensation of the register in members of interest, they spend in annual about for 75% in the our current one, and also compensation is at 71. So I get that confusion, Honourable Waters. They amended the presentation, and then previously it was like this. It was like this overspending. When we cornered them, they said no. In fact, the methodology that they've used in order to reach to that number, it was wrong with those percentages because they just clamped the entire quarter three.
The presentation that members have is useless.
No.
That one.
That one he printed. I think the one Cindy was distributing is correct one. This one.
Waters does not have this one.
It wasn't the pack, but I got this, so that I was...
You printed yourself.
I was being diligent in printing out...
working through
it and everything, right?
Yeah.
So apologies for that. But the fact is, I mean, the fact that Parliament can produce such a document in the first place is a disgrace.
Thanks for that, Lady. Further inputs, further questions, comments?
In terms of the overspending in the, and I'm speaking from this report, not the, is this right? Analysis of, okay, cool. Just in terms of that, do we know what the line items were that led to the overexpenditure in the Speaker's office and the Chairperson's office? What those are that led to the, what was it here? 10.4 million for the third quarter. The actual expenditure is 10.9, overspending by 0.5%. chairperson NCOP, 10.2 million, spent 8.9 or 88%. Yeah. Sorry, so it's just the Speaker's office there. What would that have been? Do we know what caused that overspending?
I just know the question, and we'll comment on it later. Are there further questions? Honorable September?
Thank you, Chair. And apologies for coming in a little bit late. May I trust my document is not wrong also, so I'll be guided on the questions that I'm going to ask. Chair, the first one is this report that we have before us is the third quarter report. Now, the third quarter report is quite an important report. It's a report that is almost 80% through the financial year, because as we speak now, the third quarter is past us also already. And the concern then is what is left. I think my first remark that I want to make is, if we look at the qualitative nature and what it is in there that we would be interested in, is maybe to ask that the content advisors, researchers, have an eye on the fact that Parliament gives us an APP and all of that. And it will be very nice when we deal with the third quarter to have that hands-on immediate mirror with, this is what the APP has said, on the basis of the finances and on the basis of the actual service delivery aspects, to put them together, and we will come to a conclusion either that Parliament is way off track, or Parliament is on track, or these are the worrying areas, and we think moving forward in the new budgetary year that these might be the things that we wish to ask Parliament to focus on. What is the litmus test of whether Parliament has been able to produce that which they have set themselves up? So I think we don't hear enough from them on that part, because after all, Parliament is Parliament of the people that is supposed to project out there that the finances that it set itself set aside has been able to produce the following thing, and qualitatively have been able to change a range of different things. That's the first point that I want to make. The first and second point. The third one that I want to raise is, can I just get an indication? They are underspending. Is that so? Am I right on that? So, tentatively. The big question that we have to put to them is, what are they going to do with the money that is left? And I think we have to influence that part. So if you look at the core business of Parliament, what is that? The core business of Parliament are your committee sections and all of that. And then do we have the ability to direct them? Because I see this thing of associated services. What is this thing? Associated services and so on, directing. If my document is correct, directing quite a huge sums of money in that direction. Now, obviously, that can't be correct. The pulse and the heart of Parliament is where the engine room is, and the engine room through the committee section and all of that. Let's just be honest in this room and say that we fail to see sufficient resources going into that direction, i.e. to keep government to account via the machinery that is there. Now, I think we've got to find out a little bit more, because if we want to say there's money left, make sure Treasury doesn't take it, just put it, it's just not going to work. It's not going to work. So if they can help me to say that they have been able to pick, and if we can say that when we meet with them, if I'm here tomorrow, then this magistrate commission man takes so much of my time. Then those are the issues. The last point that I want to say, which is a very worrying fact for me, Chair, and I promise you, it's got nothing to do because I'm a member of Parliament that I'm now negotiating on my own behalf. The section that deals with the projection on what members is supposed to have is a worrying question all the time. In what they reflect in here, i.e., let's start with political parties, what they're supposed to be getting. So it comes across in this document, and you can guide me again. I'm just using one example. The whole epilogue is the same. If you look at that, it looked like there's a scurry somewhere of where is the fund, where is it going to come from, where is it going to, and then an over expenditure. You cannot have an over expenditure in the core part of Parliament, which is Parliament is, after all, you will be nothing if political parties are not here, especially the ANC. So I think if you can clarify that part also, in the section that deals with Parliament, the people, the members of Parliament, the everything, the committee sections, all of that, for me that's the worrying area that we have to interrogate, whether indeed we're getting value for money there, or why is there such a huge worrying questions around that area. Let me stop there for now, Chair, because I'm subject to some of the things might be wrong in what I'm saying.
Let me respond, Chair, the later question, and then I think the research will take the first question from Honorable Stinizen. Honorable, ma'am, I think the first part, the alignment, you are 100% correct what you are saying. Normally, it is this, it's what's supposed to happen, but here, as I alluded before, exactly you are conquering what I was saying, because you cannot be able to have a flip file of this thing, because they've got annual targets. So on the third quarter, he's correct, the honourable, that on the third quarter we can able to say that no, this department or this institution is not in the right track in terms of spending its fund, because it's going to underspend, overspend. But we can't reach on that conclusion, because there are almost 50% of the targets that are on annual, which we cannot trace, we cannot track them. That's a problem that is happening in a department like your Department of Basic Education. Quarterly, you know what are the what is happening. The APP in your department, each and every quarter is broken down into costed into money. How much is going to cost the department in order to execute those targets? In quarter one, quarter two, quarter three, and quarter four. That is called a projection. We have a projection in terms of amount, but per quarter, each and all your targets are quarterly broken down and aligned with the finances. But here in Parliament, this is what I was complaining, talking about, that we have got targets, almost 50% of the targets, which are annual, which we cannot track. So in the third quarter, we cannot even come in a conclusion that this department or this institution, the 72% that they are currently on now, you cannot say that, no, you are not in the right track in terms of spending, we are underspending or we are overspending, as I think Honorable Waters was saying, that, for example, on the third quarter, we expect that it is on 75%. Although, if you define a straight line, but this thing depends on the APP, what they've planned. If, for example, they planned most of their activity on the first quarter, so they can spend 70 or 60% on the third quarter of, initially they have got that plan, they said they're going to spend so much on the fourth quarter. But here the problem is that we cannot even reach that kind of conclusion, because we've got from the onset, April, 50% of the targets were annual. We cannot, that's why I was saying that we cannot account on the money that we spend on where did this money spend on, because these targets, and as the researcher was saying, and myself was saying, in particular some other program 4, they've got to spend for this quarter 104%, but you have never account on what have you spent that one, because these targets are annual. So that's the problem, Honorable Chair, with that, the problem that we cannot see current weather. Because we cannot reach on that conclusion that the Parliament is on the right track, because there's no alignment between financial and non-financial. And second, on the understanding, you said whether we can say, I said tentatively my answer when we asked whether we're understanding. I think this tentative in the sense that there are other items where we are going to underspend, and then the parliament said, like your direct charges, which is your salaries, where you think, for example, they say they're going to underspend, we're likely to underspend by 108 million. However, that money, we know that according to the Act, Financial Management Plan, Section 23.4, is supposed to be surrendered to the National Revenue Fund. It's not our money, the one for direct charges. The one that is ours is those ones that are the underspend that might happen in our programs, but not in the direct charges. So what they are saying, there's a reason that I say tentative. You find that other programs are spending quite high, and say, let's say, 80%, and other programs are saving. So in a nutshell, we have got this 72, and they are saying that they are still going to those that are overspending, they are going to take to the program that reallocate funds within their programs. That's what they are saying, most of the reasons that they've given. They say, we are going to reallocate funds to those non-spending programs, to those that are having a potential of overspending. So that's why I said, in a current, I can't say that whether they're overspending, underspend, but what I'm sure of is that the item which is direct charges, where they're going to underspend. But in terms of in totality, that's why I said tentatively.
Yes, Honourable Member. The Speaker's Office, in fact, let me start by saying, Parliament doesn't give detailed information. We also have problem when we analyse their report, because they don't link the finances to the performance indicators. Therefore, you would not know what the money they used it for. For example, the Speaker's Office has spent about 10 million, 10.9 million, but it's not broken down as to where it was spent.
Yeah, are there further questions, follow-ups, and new questions? Honorable Steenhuisen?
Just to say, just a follow-up to that, so this has been the problem from day one, since we started engaging with this thing. Without line items, it's difficult to enforce accountability, because people can then move budgets around and shift things around, and both us and the analysts are not able to get a full picture of what's happened. And that's not transparency, it's not accountability, and I would venture to say it makes it this exercise somewhat meaningless. I want to see where that money's been moved from and where it's gone to, what's sacrificed, what the opportunity cost of it moving for, whether what it's been moved to is a justifiable expense or whether it's just something that's a luxury or nice to have. And in the current environment where this budget that we've just been delivered today is going to mean massive tightening of belts even further than they tightened, it's going to be very difficult to measure the value for money on each rand and where it's moved without that information. So, I mean, we can look at pie charts, we can look at bar graphs, but is that really meaningfully drilling down into a budget? I would venture to say no.
Comment, Honourable September?
Thank you. Look, not all my questions were answered, but let me venture to say that, Chair, I note in what has been given to us here, There's a big chunk of many of the programs. If you look at them, and if you look at what they are all about, there's a big section that is subject to all sorts of political decisions that has to be taken. So all of the last things that I have said, they are most of the time subject to political decisions that has to be made. So clearly, if you give members of parliament, I'm sorry to use this example, if you give members of parliament in December back pay of from April, then obviously it's going to reflect here on over expenditure as an example. If you do the same with the employees, you're going to have that one. The question that we need to answer for ourselves, Chair, is where there are those sections within, because the kind of institution that we are, is not the Department of Land and Agriculture and so on. So I think if we want to lump the institution into that thinking, it is just not going to work. There are times that decisions in the National Assembly and in the NCOP require different decisions. What are the financial implications of those decisions that we have taken? If we are able to pick out those things, it does help us also to say that these are the reality of who we are dealing with. Now, we don't have that sort of answer, so I think it would be good that we ask that the nature of the, you know, other than the secretary's office and so on, there is supposed to be absolute certainty of this is what we projected, this is what we have said we're going to spend, and this is what we have or did not spend. But what about the other areas? So I want to ask them, I don't want you to answer all of it. I think it's an exercise that we have to undertake, and an exercise to see whether at all. That doesn't mean we must let Parliament then get away out of not conforming to, you know, accounting to what they are supposed to be. The question that they have to answer us on, what both of you are very worried about, is this thing of, what is this thing, year two? Annual. The annual budget, what were the reasons that they told you on why they used that word, annual budget, as opposed to the quarterly that you are talking about? And then if you compare that with the actual APP, did they make a commitment in the APP that they're going to, that they are setting aside for each and every quarter? This is what they're going to, because they have, if they haven't made that commitment, then it's probably our fault that we have not indicated to them that they should do that. So we cannot expect something which we have adopted as this is annually what they're going to give to us. Thank you.
You don't necessarily have to answer. Just in the later submission, that maybe it could, we can use the opportunity, because they tabled the APP, the revised APP last year, but we never interrogate that APP as a committee. Maybe we can use that opportunity to further, according to her submission.
I don't see further hands, which means that we are okay in terms of the briefing by the research team. And I think we have noted the issues that have been raised, that we are going to be raising with management as they come. I think the issues of annual targets, the issues of misalignment between the budget and performance targets, and most importantly, I think also the issues that Honorable September has just raised the question of whether the APP, whether there is a financial plan indeed that goes with the APP and what have you. So can we leave this at that? Thank you very much. Let's go to the minutes as agreed. Let's quickly delete the minutes.
Yeah,
we sense that is what you'd want. Yes. Thank you very much. Are there, the minutes of the meeting of the 29th November on the first page, are there any corrections there? None. On the second page? None. On the third page? None. The last page? Nothing. May I have someone moving for the adoption of the minutes? Honorable GPS moves. Seconder? Honorable Singh seconds. And so there is no objection, so the minutes are duly adopted by the meeting without any correction. That then brings us to the end of this session. We are going to go into the next session, which my co-chair is going to be chairing. Am I right? Yeah, thank you very much. Thanks. Yeah, so they may come in. Do you want to call? Oh, okay, that's right. Okay.
Thank you. Honourable members, good afternoon. Good evening. Good evening, Honourable Singh. Good evening, Honourable September. Honourable members, thank you very much. I don't think it's necessary for us to always introduce each other. I'm sure by now we know each other. We have one agenda item, which is your presentation of your third quarter. According to the agenda, and I'm not sure if Cindy then negotiated it with you, but according to the agenda, you've got half an hour to do your presentation. We will then discuss it, honourable members, and then chart a way forward. That is the proposed meeting procedure for today. Half an hour presentation, discussion, and take it from there. Is there happiness in the house with that approach? Very much so. Thank you very much. If that's the case, Acting Secretary, Acting Secretary? Yeah. Acting Secretary, you have got until 6 o'clock. At 6 o'clock, we'll ask you to cease talking to us, and we'll start doing the talking.
Good afternoon, honorable members. What we presented to yourselves is the quarter three report. I just will go straight to the substance of the report. The first slide, we're trying to update the members on the extent to which we are trying to fill positions that are important for support to members. To date, if you look at table one, it explains the number of critical posts as per area. I will not delay you on talking to that. And then table two shows us
which is on the right, I'm sorry, they're not numbered. The table 2 shows us the recruitment stage. So I can say, since we met with yourselves last year, and we did present the fact that there were 71 active posts or positions, and that we're going to advertise over time, then it was 52. What we've done now is at least we can say that 10 have been filled, 33 positions are at various levels of recruitment. This area will increase, and I will talk to it in the next slide. The next slide, we are giving you an update. The last time we were here, we explained that we do have something like a 342 million deficit in terms of compensation if we needed the staff to be well staffed and supporting members. We can share with members, honorable members, chairpersons, that National Treasury sent us a letter to say that they have redirected 95 million towards compensation. However, simultaneously, certain amounts were deducted from our budget, so that injection of 95 million doesn't really change the baseline of our budget, not at all. So what then happened is they reduced our baseline budget by 2.3 million, and this was having to take care of 114 employees, former employees of Parliament, in terms of their medical benefits. So that medical aid contribution, which initially National Treasury was carrying, they did indicate to us that they were carrying it illegally, because we don't belong to the Public Service Act, so we don't belong to the Collective Bargaining Act. So they used to just pay our subsidized medical aid for retired employees, so we're staying at 114. What we thought was going to happen was they were going to open a program and take some budget elsewhere. So they actually took it from our baseline. So whilst they have injected 95 million currently, they have actually reduced it by 2.3. And further to that, they did not return the budget that they had reduced in the past years, the MTEF, which was reduced by 342 million. That's what the next bullet point says. So why are we saying this? We're saying this because this imposes on us, again, revisiting the critical positions, reprioritizing in terms of areas that we would like to fill. And it also still says there's a lot of a tight budget around the skills and the positions that we need to fill, your researchers, your content advisors, your committee secretaries. But, chairpersons, if I were to say that we are in the process of making sure that we continue to identify critical positions for us to fill. And currently, if we complete the 33 positions, we'll have filled about 43 for this year and continue to identify those areas wherein people are actually resigning. Having said that, I want to also say that in the last meeting we had, co-chairs, the committee said you committed that you will work with the executive authority to have a meeting, and we think this is a good time to have a meeting again with National Treasury around the review of our budget, primarily because the submissions that we made for the funding of the PBO, we got zero. Funding of our Treasury Advisory Function, we got zero. Better funding of the OISD, Chapter 9, Office Supporting Chapter 9 Institutions, we got zero. So basically, our baseline has not been revised. And I know that there was a resolution in this committee that you will work with the executive authority to try and have a meeting with National Treasury. We continue to have meetings with our counterparts, the DG, the DDG. But where we're sitting there, they definitely have no other way of assisting us except for if the intervention comes from the discussions with the minister. And when the Act does say that the minister has to meet with the leadership of Parliament. So we're still in that space that's a little bit better, but not as we would have wished it to be. The next slide, we wanted to again say to yourself that we did have a review of the APP, and in the APP we revised it. You will see in the reporting that we have actually pulled together the various turnaround times as per the services offered to members. These are turnaround times around research, turnaround time around content advice, turnaround time around legal. We we created a, what we called a core service business charter indicator, meaning that when I unpack the targets and what we met against those indicators, you'll see that we have actually pulled that into a core service business charter indicator, which we measure against what we output. Then, of course, in the last meeting, we did say we had articulated things called development models, and we said to the committee that we would like to develop indices. That work of development of indices, which will include of involve members of parliament, will only be ready by the end of, we think it's going to be part of the legacy report and hand over to the sixth parliament. What do we want to do with that? We would like to, which has been started by researchers, we looked at the Human Development Index, the UNDP, the OEE report that actually identifies certain indices that look at oversight, could look at a whole range of other things. And we're saying that instead of measuring the oversight model, should measure the extent to which certain indicators say this is what we mean by oversight in terms of the work of Parliament. So what are we saying there? We're saying that in our report and in our review of the APP, we collapsed, or shall I say, we reviewed the models. They are operational. At the level of strategy, we're going to introduce indices that will be developed with the members because they will measure members' work with respect to oversight and public participation. So that's work in progress. But it doesn't, in essence, it doesn't change the annual performance plan that we've submitted to the AG that we've been measured against. It doesn't change it at all. The next slide shows specific the overall performance on quarter three. It's quite straightforward. We show that we had eight indicators, we've met eight indicators, we have nine indicators that are annual, that's the gray part, and then, of course, two indicators that are not met, and actually we do give a breakdown on the next slide. So the altogether we have 19 indicators in the revised APP, 10 indicators that are applicable during the third quarter, and then nine indicators have targets that are annual. We've got it there on the table. Eight of the 10 indicators applicable for quarter three have been met. Two targets were not met for that period, and we do explain why later on. The next slide is really a breakdown of comparison from quarter to quarter. Co-chairs, you will see that there might be an anomaly. In the first quarter, we put nine indicators as annual. And one would ask, why do they become 16 and then nine on the third quarter? The first quarter, what we were doing, we were computing the milestones of the annual indicators with a view to track them. And the second quarter, we decided rather let's keep the very indicators, annual indicators, and then take the narrative and put it under, below the line, if one were to say. So you will notice that in terms of the annual indicators, if you compare quarter two and quarter three, there's definitely a reduction from 16, some of which will be, have been met in between, and then we're left with nine indicators, which we are tracking. And we will talk about it later on in the report. With respect to indicators that have been met, or the targets that have been met against the indicators, there we're giving you the percentages. We had 20 indicators, and we had seven on the quarter two, and then eight that are met on quarter three. And of course, we have a breakdown of where these are. Budget allocation per program, co-chairs, that I will not waste your time on. It's the same as we had presented in terms of the various budget breakdown and the allocations thereof. We have put in there the various programs that our honorable members are familiar with. Then on slide 11, there we just present the budget allocation per economic classification. That's the normal pie chart that we share with yourselves on slide 11. Coming to the financial performance, our slide 12 indicates that the expenditure against the annual budget, total expenditure, the annual budget was of $2.4 billion. The expenditure thereof, the actual is at 1.6 actual, and available is 747. That is sitting at percentage of 60. But if we look at the detail of the why we are at 60 now, it's precisely that the direct charges sitting at 60 is an area that we've always been given excess budget that we send back to National Treasury. And at this stage, it will be about 108.7 million that will be sent back to the fiscals. This is the budget allocation that we are not supposed to touch in terms of the FMPPLA. It has to go back to the National Revenue Fund, and that's what we're saying there on that slide. The various programs, as outlined, they all are sitting, the strategy and leadership governance at 22% expenditure against the annual budget. That I'm referring to the latter part of the table, the extreme right of the table. And then administration indicates 63%, core business 75%, support associated services, those are the breakdowns according to what percentage we're sitting on and against the annual budget. The side on the left shows members the budget against the actual against the quarter. So we separated in quarter, and then we also have the annual on the one side. Then, of course, we go on to the specifics, economic classification. There we're looking at compensation of members that's sitting at 60% against the annual budget and 96% against the quarter. Compensation of employees is 75% against the annual budget and 103% against the quarter, which will be, when it's analyzed, that 103 might look at as an over expenditure, but when you analyze it, it actually goes back to the correct 100%. Goods and services at 63%, this is against the APP, and we can explain that invoices, payments are still going to be transacted, and of course that percentage will improve. We've been doing a lot of investigation with our various division managers to check if there is going to be any under expenditure of some sort. Goods and services for members, entitlements in particular, we're sitting at 72 against the annual budget, and transfers 25% against the annual budget, and the capital expenditure 25% against the annual budget, which is very minimal in terms of what was allocated in that category of capital expenditure. These are just the notes that explain exactly the extent to which we have spent, and I think honorable members can ask questions on that. I will not waste your time reading that. It is just notes that we attached to explain the expenditure that as presented. I'm going to move to performance per program. Strategic leadership and governance. This program, honorable members know now what it includes. It includes the LSS, it includes the administration compliance, it includes the whole office of the secretary and all the compliance issues around there. We're showing you on the program that we have those indicators, and this is largely submission of a financial report, submission and tabling of ATC, on ATC of our financial, our quarterly reports. That's the slide on page 16. It's self-explanatory. I'll go to the next program one. That's a breakdown of what those indicators are. And we've outlined that. It's a repetition, but just a breakdown of what it is. What do we measure? We measure the scheduled implementation of governance, the number of meetings. That's obviously because it is we have to comply and have certain meetings. We also give governance documents that are tabled on time. We did have a challenge in December when our financials were not tabled, in as far as printing of the ATC, hence the red. It was really an oversight on our side because Parliament had gone on recess. We could have just had run an ATC, a special edition of an ATC. Because strictly speaking, in terms of the auditors, when they say tabled, they want to see whether it's on the ATC. So there was no ATC then because there was recess. So hence the red there. And there's nothing we can do about it because we can't go back and correct So it will stay as a as an area of non-performance. However, we're happy that we have actually put on a mediation strategy, mitigation strategy for, to make sure that we don't, we just have to communicate amongst ourselves as administrators to say the both the secretary of the NCOP and NA assist to table by running a particular extra run of the ATC. At the bottom, we explain that the various total indicators and the targets that I've met and those that are not met, that's self-explanatory. The next slide, we show this members, honorable members, the difference between the expenditure with respect to the APPN, of course, splitting that, separating that in terms of the economic classification and the program division. Then those are the percentages. In terms of the Speaker's office, if we measure, if we assess the annual budget requested, the expenditure is sitting at 70%. The quota expenditure looks like it's exceeding, it's at 105%. Office of the Chairperson, the expenditure against the APP and the work is sitting at 72% against the annual. Of course, the actual there, that column explains the actual, the other column explains the availability. Treasury office, we've had a long conversation. I think in all of the presentation to the committee, we always have indicated a zero against the Treasury Advisory Office, precisely because that function has been done or spread across FMO, that is the Office of the CFO. But we've picked up an anomaly. I think in 2014-13, there was a decision by the to establish an office. Our view is that we need a function. The Treasury Advisory Office is supposed to be a function that assists the executive authority to check whether the financial reports that are sent from the CFO are correct, are dependable, are verifiable, independent of the CFO. We have now decided, at the time, 2013, we wanted to establish a whole office, meaning that we have warm bodies, we have administrators, and we thought it's a better. And our view is that, we were sharing with colleagues just yesterday with the CFO, that maybe what we would like to recommend, and I'm sure we can get guidance from the committee, or co-chairs, that we find a functionary that directly reports to the executive authority, because in terms of the FMPPLA, the executive authority is the treasury of parliament. What they need is somebody in between who's going to assure them that indeed, as we report in the financial, they are according to the APP, they are according to budget appropriated by parliament. So that function, we thought it can be done, not in a big office, but by a functionary whom we can employ, but be report directly to the executive authority. That's what we thought, because we noticed that there's a conflation. If the CFO and the office of the FMO are the ones who are producing financials and also the ones who submit to the executive authority and give assurance to the executive authority. That's the thinking we had up until yesterday. But I'm sure, coaches, we will appreciate advice and some guidance from yourselves. The Parliamentary Budget Office is as it is. We're quite aware of the input. I mean, their budget is always almost exhausted. And we're quite aware of the needs of that office. And this is the office that we do want to flag that if the budget doesn't change, and this is a mandate that was not funded, and all the time we've been funding it from the retained funds, and we have shared with the committee. At the bottom of that slide, all we're showing there is economic classification, and we break it down to compensation of employees, goods and services sitting at 54, and then capital expenditure is 100%, which is almost nothing anyway. It's quite insignificant, to be honest. The next slide provides the notes, which I'm not wanting to waste your time on. Part of what I've already said, possibly could just flag, we reiterate the fact that the PBO still remains unfunded in the manner that it should be, in line with its mandate. The Offices of Institutions Supporting Democracy also still remain unfunded directly, and we know that there has been resolutions to really focus on the Chapter 9 institutions. And this committee members have said what happens to those reports that come from those committees and those Chapter 9 institutions. And for us to ensure that this office is functioning properly, we need to fund it properly and we need to allocate it a budget properly. And there's a whole exercise that this office is doing in terms of reorganizing and re-engineering the plethora of these Chapter 9 so that they work properly. And then, of course, there's a big task here wherein these Chapter 9 institutions or institutions supporting democracy are now wanting to de-link their budgets from their mother departments. And that's a function that is led by the Deputy Speaker. I think I'm sure at some stage the committee will have to be given a briefing on that, but it is driven politically by the Deputy Speaker. And there is a request that it is likely that Parliament might have to assume the responsibility of managing the budget of these institutions. The discussions are now at a space where, obviously, you say, does it come under vote 2? What then happens? But that's the whole area that I think coaches that I would leave it to the Deputy Speaker to possibly have a presentation to yourself. It's really to make that area of the Chapter 9 institutions more functional and less dependent on their departments. I'm going to move with speed. On Program 2, nothing untoward. We're reporting the indicators on quarter 3, and what we've done here, we just compared quarter to quarter. It gives some nice trend line. It also shows that at least with respect to the indicators, met and target met, I'm sorry, against the indicators. There's quarter three, no target that we have not met. If it is, it's minor, it's something that we're carrying over from the past. Oh, okay. Okay, fine. Program 2, I'll definitely move with speed, I've just been told that I've left with 10 minutes. Program 2, It's straightforward, Chairperson. The gray there shows that this is an annual target for when members have completed their courses. I must hasten to say that this program is largely supported by donor funds from EU. That also flags another issue for Parliament. When the EU support is exhausted, which is going to be quite soon, it will demand of Parliament to absorb those programs that support members, and that could be something that the Fifth Parliament would like to look at and define as a legacy for the Sixth Parliament. And then Program 2, administration, we give you a breakdown there to co-chairs. I will not waste time on that. It's a breakdown of the expenditure against our APP, breakdown of the economic classification, and then we're showing that except for projects which are sitting at 53, let me start off with LSS. If you look at the legislative sector support sitting at 49, that is the expenditure, as I was saying, that's EU funding. There's nothing we can do with that budget. It sits with us because we are the accounting officers for EU, and that is donor money. We can't do anything about. Projects, the reason we're sitting at 53 is precisely because the projects, these are strategic projects of Parliament which have got big invoices. Most of those projects invoices will actually be, they have overrun into the fourth quarter, which has to be. A lot of those invoices will be paid out at least by the 15th of March, but there might be some underspending around that area, but we will definitely update it when we reconcile into the fourth quarter report. And then, of course, the next slide provides you the notes, co-chairs. Core business, particularly, nothing untoward, except for the fact that in quarter three we experienced with a plethora of committees sitting at various times and a volume of committees sitting, we realized that the area that shows you, the red graph, shows you some of the things we couldn't service, that is translation interpretation, because a lot of committees were sitting at the same time. We are exploring, co-chairs, that because the business of Parliament has got peaks and troughs, it is unthinkable that the administration can be burdened with, shall we say, 30 translators, if at not, you can only use them at certain points in time. So I think there's also issues of creativity on how do we insource some of the services if we reach or hit peak time of need for translation, need for interpretation. However, there's an area where we should address the sign language interpretation, because part of our not meeting the target there was where there was need for sign language and the two houses are sitting together, all their various committees, there were deficiencies about how we service on some of those areas, translation, interpretation, and sign language. We are looking at it, and the HR have got some proposals that we will raise with the executive authority. And then, of course, we have on the next slide, what we're showing you there is the percentages of the service charters. These are the trans. This is what I was talking about. It gives us, in that column of reasons for variance, we explain what the issues were. And I'm sure honorable members will have read that. And then we have said that we are addressing those matters. The next slide, it's really, we are indulging members. We're showing you the various graphs. We're showing you where we've met target and where we have not met target. The various bar graphs should be read. Each of the three explain the three quarters, like under house papers, procedural papers. For each of those, we show you over time from quarter one versus quarter two and quarter three. You will see that when we got to reports under reports quarter one, we were failing, but we managed to recoup, and we're doing well in terms of production of reports. We've dropped in terms of interpretation. Under quarter three, you will see that quarter one, we had problems. Quarter two, we picked up. Quarter three, we dropped. And again, this is the issue of volumes, where I was talking about the picks and troughs of work in Parliament. Similarly with translations, there's a drop. We didn't reach our 100% of the need of that service, and those bar graphs say exactly that. Core business, there we are showing members, honorable members, the expenditure against the activities that we have under each of those programs. And then, of course, we provide you with the fact that at the end, in terms of core, we were sitting at 25% of expenditure against the annual budget. And then the economic classification breaks it down into compensation. We can see where the deficiencies are or where the under expenditure is to date. Capital expenditure is at 40%. However, it's very little budget there. It's not too big. It's some things that we'll address with respect to if we are to purchase or delivery of anything that we need in that area. And I can tell that less expenditure has got to do with subscriptions in the area of core. Program 3, I think on page 28, we're just providing you with a narrative, and it explains those areas that I was talking to. The program that is driving a lot of annual targets is the support service. In this area, we have four surveys. We have the survey, which we now have a report on, which we will share with members. We've commissioned Ipsos on the awareness of Parliament, access to Parliament, and whether people think they can participate in Parliament. And we're getting quite interesting results, which we think we will share. We definitely will have to share with the committee. We have also a client satisfaction survey wherein we assess our services from security to how the rooms look like. There's a whole range of things, research. And this area, we only get the reports of the survey reports at the end of the year because they're independently commissioned. So we have the Ipsos Machina, which talks on awareness and participation. We've got the client satisfaction survey. Then we've got the third one. It is also a stakeholder client satisfaction survey, which is being commissioned to, we've actually commissioned the HSRC. We think it's quite powerful surveys that we're going to use, out of which we'll actually use them as baselines going forward and seeing whether we're improving in terms of the work that the Parliament does. Of course, we then also have a employee satisfaction survey, which is conducted by HR. All of these are on time, are on target. We now have the reports that we are doing some analysis and trying to do some correlation of data. We will present it here. Therefore, the support service, you will see the gray, and the updates are in a narrative, and we've got them on page 31, on slide 31, honorable members. We're explaining the state at which each one of those are at, so that you then have evidence that we are tracking. The last one is it's just a breakdown of the budget chairpersons, and I will not waste your time on that. And you will see that, for instance, ISSD is sitting at 69. There still has to be some budget towards the service. The same with communications, which is sitting at 63%, which also has got to do with payment of those servers. Because when we commission a survey, it's only after they deliver the final report that we pay. However, we pay a particular percentage for them to conduct the survey and employ field workers. Program 5, it's a straightforward associated services where we measure the turnaround of the time in which we pay members. And the next table shows you that, we've met our target consistently there, even exceeded it. And of course, the budget associated to that, it's very straightforward. It's compensation, it's transfer payments, it's goods and services in that area. It's transferred to political parties, is members' entitlement. And of course, the next slide, we break down into a narrative that enables honorable members to see where the budget goes. And then, of course, the direct charges, which I indicated earlier on, that they're sitting at 60%, and that's an area where we always have to send back the unused funds. Finally, honorable members, co-chairs, what we are saying is that we made quite great progress in the third quarter. I also want to say with confidence, we are now using our internal audit to audit this report. The reason we're doing it is we do not want to reach the auditor. When the audit begins, we run around and we don't have proof and supporting documents, meaning that when the AG comes and plans, they will spend less hours and less time tracking and verifying and ensuring that the reports that we're saying we have done, the targets that we say we've met, have got documents that can be verifiable. So we're doing that. So this report is being audited by our internal audit. They have a separate report which we will send to the chair, the first and the second quarter, and you will notice quite an interesting improvement of the work that we do. There's a lot that we have to do in going forward. And then what we're saying here is we have reached, at least in progress in terms of achieving our goals and achieving our targets. We say that progress on annual targets indicate that these will be met, so we've tracked that. So there will not be a surprise when we come back to this committee and say we haven't met the annual target. We are tracking that. We're also saying that indicators that have persistent performance challenges are being addressed, issues of translation and interpretation. And then, of course, we're working very hard to fill the positions that we think are very urgent. And then, of course, the last thing, which I said earlier on, we have submitted a letter to indicate the information on unbudgeted offices to the chair and the co-chair, which provides you the detail of the budget deficit that we need. And finally, that indeed our need for compensation of employees so that we have staff that is a full complement to support members is still outstanding. So we still have a deficit of 342 million rands to that were a result of National Treasury deducting without informing us from the last MTEF. So that's where we're standing. Thank you very much, Chair. That's the end of my presentation. Thank you to the members of the committee.
Thank you very much, Acting Sec. Honourable members, let's get into discussion. Any takers? Can we do as we normally do, allow maybe three and take two members with three questions each, ask them to respond and go to everybody else so that everybody has a chance. Anybody wants to take? Mr. De Beer, you'll have three, and then you'll be followed by Honorable Waters. You'll respond. Thereafter, Mente and September will be the next tranche. Three questions if you have, Honorable De Beer.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the presentation and the outline. Chairpersons, looking at slide 31, progress against annual targets, but we can't see the progress. You made the remark, we are tracking them. What does it mean? Because we can't find it here. In any annual program, something was happened in every quarter, although you get a report at the end of the year. And it's my submission on the chairperson that somewhere we must get some indication in terms of the annual target what happened in between. Otherwise, we can't measure it. It's like an annual report from the Auditor General, you get it at the end of the year, on a specific department. Then, Chairperson, National Treasury has got a format of quarterly reporting, and it would assist if we can get that type of format where you get the budget, but then in columns, quarter one, quarter two, quarter three, that you can measure, looking at quarter three, what happened in quarter one and two. You get that picture. That's how we dealt with it in Scopa, when I was in Scopa and a provincial legislator. It makes it easier to measure for members of the committee. On page 9, my last one, slide 9, when we look at the quarter 3, let's take the green color, 8 indicators, and then you say 42.11%. How do you get to that? Can you explain that to us? Thank you, Chair.
Nyabonga Baba, Honorable Waters.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the presentation, Acting Secretary. Just on the original document that was sent to us with all the incorrect figures, I don't know if you know about it. We were sent a document that gave us all the incorrect percentages of what's been spent. I'd like to know how did that happen. It's not the first time in this committee that we've received documentation that had to be withdrawn and you've rectified the information. And surely there is some form of quality control. So if you could just explain how this happened, please. And then on page 27, the first line item, Deputy Secretary Core Business, says for this quarter you spent 102% of your budget, and overall for the year to date, 115%. What is the reasons for that high expenditure? And in the notes at the bottom, it says here that it's got to do with the Women's Parliament in page 27, the top line, Deputy Secretary Core Business. It says October to December, they spent 102% of the budget, and then year-to-date, 115%. So I'd like to know how that, what's the cause for that. Now, you've got a note here saying the Women's Parliament invoices happened and whatever. Was it budgeted for the Women's Parliament? Is that why you've overspent in this line item? And if it wasn't budgeted for, then where's the money coming from? What you take? Where are you taking money from? And what's going to be affected, if I can put it that way? And the last, just to deal with the same issue, is how much was the Women's Parliament in total? Thank you.
All right. Okay, if you could respond to those three.
With respect to tracking, I think, Honorable De Beer, I think what we tried to do on the quarter to quarter, but we did it in bar graphs. So we can convert that data into a table because it shows performance from against a particular indicator from quarter to quarter. So it's possible that we will do that. We will put it in quarter to quarter so that it's very clear. Then against which will be a budget, but then, of course, against which will be the real delivery or the real, what we have done. What we try to do with respect to tracking is the narrative that we have alternate. If I go to the annual, yes, on slide 31, on client satisfaction level, we explain that at this stage, the project is at execution, and then it is research survey conducted by HSRC. Do members have that information? Yes. The narrative helps us to track. Because at the end, what we measure per percentage. So what we keep is just the narrative to say how far we are. We understand very clearly that we cannot not say where the target is, so even if it's annual. It might well be that we can take that content. The reason when we convert it into a cell, it gets just too compressed. However, we will get guidance from the members how you want it done. We can improve on that. It's not a problem at all. And then attached to it, I think the only thing that I can accept is missing. For instance, if we say surveys have been issued, if there is cost of the development of the questionnaire, we should attach that. If we say development of a questionnaire, we should say 25,000 towards it, so that you also see that that budget is moving according to the various milestones. So it's a combination of balancing the milestones and the target that I'm understanding the members to be asking for. We can improve on that, the coaches. The incorrect figures, I agree with you, Honorable Walters. We can't send you, it has to stop. We do have a quality check. We do sit with our managers, and whatever slips needs to be corrected. I can't say anything else, because we can't come here with a presentation that's got revised figures when we had given you the other figures. It'll throw doubt onto exactly what the right figures. And I think we just need to clean out our processes, and that we should apologize for. Budget on...
We accept your apology. The question is, have you identified who the individuals are? You know, you can't give us half a apology. If you've identified who the individual is, and you're sure that you're dealing with the individual, because there must be one body that has done this. You're giving us an assurance that you have dealt with the source of the problem. That's fine.
We'll continue to. We definitely will not have it repeated again. Yeah. Thanks, Chair. There's a budget for women. In what we did, the Women's Parliament is always budgeted for because it's on the program of Parliament together with the Youth Parliament. That budget sits with the core business and managed under the acting DDG, that is the acting secretary, core business. And the reason you have that, which is exceeding often what happens, is you will find that there's contributions that have to be brought in when we actually invite the provinces. So there would be some budget that we advance, and then, of course, they have to claim against their contributions towards the function. So that area is actually been, it will be corrected in the final quota, wherein we get, let me explain properly. The Women's Parliament budget will be put aside, and then the Youth Parliament, because those are seen as core business for Parliament, the sectoral Parliament. What then happens is we share the activities with the provinces. They then have to pay in what they have spent on. So, for instance, if we had catering for, shall I say, 50 women or so participating, we pay up front. So they need to come back, and that gets reconciled downwards. So that should be a correction, but we do budget for the Women's Parliament. But we share it with the sector, because instead of doing individual Women's Parliaments, I think Parliament decided that if there are national days or national activities like the Women's Month, the Youth Month, the whole sector does a convergence. In this case, we had an international Women's Parliament here in Parliament, and provinces sent their delegates, but we have to spend our head. And then, of course, they have to compensate us. And at that point in time, we'll have exceeded the budget that was only for Parliament because we've had to do certain activities. That's why it is what it is. And I can say to honorable members, I'm sure the CFO can say later on that we will actually see that it gets corrected backwards. That's the response. Anything else?
On the last point, in the last quarter, didn't you report something along the lines of a seminar for women, wherein I think obviously you had to spend some money, just that I don't have the reports here. If I recall, there was something that you reported about Women's Parliament not taking place and it being replaced
by a women's seminar. Sure.
Now, before you respond, normally we'll ask follow-up for Tabir, but he's not here. Just one follow-up if you have a key follow-up, so then we'll go to the next.
Thank you, Chair. Just the total cost of the Women's Parliament.
The total cost we will definitely bring to yourselves a breakdown. Let me answer. Indeed, I think the year before we had the Women's Parliament in St. George's, that was hosted by Parliament and Gauteng Legislature. This year, we took the Women's Parliament and we created what was called an International Women's Parliament that was hosted here. So it's basically the same. I don't know why we referred to it as a seminar. It wasn't a seminar. We invited speakers from the various parliaments within SADC. So we have a breakdown of all that. That was the International Women's Parliament. Instead of having a strictly South African Women's Parliament, which we normally have as a sector, we expanded it to make it an international women's conference, or shall I say Women's Day for August. And we had it on the 30th of August to the 1st of September. It's the same, Chairperson.
Susmit.
Thank you, Chair. I'll add up on the question, the very last question of Walters. The overspending is not only on the Women's Parliament. Okay. On page 27, there is also the National Assembly overspending, and also on page 32, there's an overspending which is under the Deputy Secretary on support services. Then my question is, what happens? Because your narrative is that it's payments that are made, these payments that are done on the fourth quarter for the third quarter invoices. What happens? Is it prices that change, or do you get new invoices? How does it get to differ from the invoice that you initially received when you are paying it on the fourth quarter? That's my first question. And then my second question on the EU funding, which is what you said, there's nothing for you to do as Parliament. Who manages it in your office? Because there's lots of complaints from the members who are partaking in the program of Parliament, the empowerment program of Parliament, that payments to the institutions where they are enrolled in. Payments are often late, and it disadvantages them in a lot of areas of learning. So who's managing it? Who is supposed to be paying on time? As we speak to you now, there's a late payment that has been recorded to our office as well for VETs, which was supposed to have been effected 2017 already, and members cannot be disadvantaged like that in terms of their empowerment, because that's what you are saying, it's part of your responsibilities. Then my third question, Chair, is on the translators that you mentioned a word in source on translators. I'm not sure. Do you have Parliament translators, or you outsource them? And also on payment of employee, compensation of employees, is that part of compensation? Is it talking to Parliament employees only, or does it also include the outsource staff, like your cleaners that are here, like the restaurant people that are here? And if it's not inclusive of them, where is their price, the cleaners that are here? Because it's a service that we will need forever. I don't get it why we outsource it instead of insourcing it. So can you break it down, if where is the prices, the payments for the compensation for cleaners and the compensation of full-time staff of Parliament. Thank you.
Honourable September.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the presentation. On the very first or second slide that you gave us an update on the how you're doing with recruitment, are you able to tell us the critical posts? You might have explained in the previous meeting why you have chosen those categories as critical posts, as opposed to listing critical posts against the core areas that you identified in your strat plan, your budget, and so on. I have got no issues against a person that does binding, but what can you tell me about a binder being a critical post when we have said that we've got to go green even? So maybe you can just explain. And as you explain to us, have you been able to measure against the outstanding post what effect it has on the outcome of what the institution is supposed to have achieved? And I think I would want to submit to say that can you re-look that, those critical posts, and re-look that in relation to what Parliament is supposed to focus on? So I think it's an indictment that the engine room of Parliament does not feature on there. The one that talks about a developmental Parliament, an activist Parliament, the one that requires the public out there to see this is indeed the Parliament. But in there, your core job titles is management-driven more than anything else. That's the first one. The second one is just explain to me on the you have to give money back all the time in terms of the direct charges. Now, I don't have that clause in front of me that talks about the you know what the NRF says. You can maybe just remind us what it says. But I want to ask, isn't it time to review that one? Review to say that this is a big area in Parliament that requires some careful thinking on whether indeed you must send that money back, because that's part of your fluctuation of you know, who is it in Parliament that really are your main group of people called members of Parliament. I want to encourage that, because what Parliament can do is, I mean, if that money, if for example, you are not able to spend it because the judge and you are still negotiating, just one example, and you still carry on, but now all of a sudden, at the end of the year, you've got to go and scurry around for money, subject us to some percentage increase which was taken away by the minister today because of VAT and all of that, then what you would have done is if you would have built up some funds somewhere that you have transferred this money to, you benefit not only because of the members, you benefit in your own revenue. You would have been able to get from those percentages and so on, you would have been able to take that and plow it back into you know, some other needy areas. I also want to speak on the insourcing, outsourcing area. Is Parliament a contributor to the Skills Fund? Because if you are contributed to the skills fund, then why would you rely on EU funding continuously in this area when you are supposed to be making applications in that area? And I think in that area, when you look at what you are offering the staff of Parliament, I might have missed it, but I don't see in here sufficient information in here that suggests that your capacitation of your staff, for example, would have come from something like that, come from the skills fund and so on, and that month on month, year on year, all your capacity problems that you're identifying in here would have been dealt in that area. Now, so I want to find that are you in the scheme? And the question is, why are you not in the scheme in the sixth? Why are you violating one or other law that we have passed ourselves in this area? And then, if you're not contributing, can you get some attention to this area? I think we must not underestimate the capacitation of both members of parliament and staff itself on a year-on-year basis. So I link that to the fact that your minutes keep on being not 100%. Now, what's the reason for it not being 100%? You might want to explain. And then if you have identified the problem, you would have then said, this is how you would have solved it in your capacitation program. Link to that. When your first slide that you showed me says the way that it is, you would have then have had a discussion about internship that you would have bring into this institution, because you are a contributor, or supposed to, or not, or maybe you can. I'm not sure. You would have then assessed the capacitation problem of Parliament through all of that also. Spoken about the minutes, Chair. If you
you've got three. You've had your three.
Sorry, must I?
No, you've had three. You'll have
three
a second
questions
round.
Questions only.
Yes, you'll come
sorry,
for a second.
Sorry, my apologies.
Okay, if you could respond to these two, but you'll have a second round, Honourable September. Yeah.
Thank you, Conscious. Thank you, Honourable Members. I'm going to also ask CFO to talk on the various things, like whether we contribute to the skills levy or. But let me just deal with the insourcing, outsourcing. I just want to say, I think my comment was largely on the picks and troughs of the work of Parliament. And what we, all the employees of our Parliament are on the staff establishment. So we don't have outsourced translations, outsourced reporting. It's our staff. We've got 1,200 staff members, the bulk of those sit in committees and researchers and that area of core. And so we don't do that. But with respect to cleaners, we do have contracts with Budvest, who are cleaners, and also with FedEx, which is called something else, Freedom. When we grew up, we used to call it FedEx. But these are our catering areas. We do have some outsourced services. Indeed, there's also an exercise that the division manager of that area has done, a benchmark with various institutions in the country to indeed look at areas that we can bring in the services because they are core to the work of Parliament and the needs of members. So that area is an area that we are addressing now. With respect to...
Before you go on there, I think that was part of the question. Why don't you bring it in? But secondly, I think the member asked, where do you reflect the cost now? Is it consultants, or where does it reflect now?
Okay, it will come under the contracts that we have with them, but it's under goods and services, am I right? And CFO? CFO can correct me, it's under goods and services. And those are bulk contracts that we have with your Bidvest that we contract for 5 years and we go out on a tender. But the whole exercise of insourcing, we're definitely looking at it, and affordability. And this is an area where we're going to be presenting to the executive authority quite soon, as well as this committee when we have presented to the executive authority. The challenge, I'm aware, Honourable Member, about the challenge of payment of the services of UJ and VIRTS.
It was stuck in the system because there was quite a lot of disagreement between the service production, as in like the content and the agreement in the service level agreement, the contents of the service level agreement. Indeed, it took a while for us to do that. We even had a discussion with the professors there, and as far as I know, we have settled to that area. There were issues around the service level agreement. I do remember Honorable Didiza raising the fact that the members are quite unhappy because we were compromising them. Whereas now I know that we have addressed that, and there was a big invoice where my colleagues explained that, look, there are certain issues that they wanted to sort out with the deliverers of the program. Yes, indeed, you're right to say that at the end, we will have to think of how we include training of members, which is quite core, so that it's not dependent on the EU. But our view, co-chairs, is that it should be dealt with by sector, because the nine legislatures also benefit from this fund. So it's not only in Parliament National in Cape Town. So there has to be a discussion at a much higher level, of course, with ourselves, quantifying how much it is to invest on members' development. And that exercise must be done very constructively. And we map also the issues that talk to the type of skills that members demand they should be provided for, and that relate to the work they do. So that's an area that we really have to take out and make sure that we do some work on it. It's not rocket science, we need to do it, because then it will tell us the costs thereof. There was a question about what happens to a quarter where we chose an over expenditure or under expenditure. The delay is normally around the travel agencies. Often we don't get on the quarter that travel has happened, we get the invoices in the next quarter. So there's always uneven reporting where you had planned, obviously, travel in this quarter, we then get the invoices quite late in the next quarter. So there's always going to be an under-expenditure, over-expenditure around travel services all the time, because we have to get Rennie sending us the invoices and so on and so forth. And I'm sure CFO can say a little bit about it if I've missed out on something. Let me go to, we will check the skills levy, Honorable Connie. As far as I know, and I might be completely wrong, I'll check with colleagues, Parliament doesn't contribute to the skills levy, but I'm not sure. Shall I say, Chair, we will check that. All I know is we have actually structured an internship program and a learnership program, which hopefully in this financial year, 1st of April, we will start recruiting interns and learners. Directly to the issues you raised, indeed, Mem, what we did an analysis of the critical positions. At the time we were doing it, that was last year, we had 71 critical positions, largely around indeed the core business of Parliament. Out of that, because there was a deduction of about 108 million from our compensation, first it was 33 million, and then it was 129 CFO, and then it was 189. Effectively, 342 million was taken off from compensation. So we got stuck in, we can't fill in all the 71 positions. A lot of those was research, content, committee secretaries. So we then said to colleagues, go and tell us areas where indeed the institution is bleeding because we don't have sufficient support to members. This is the schedule that I was sharing with yourselves. So we started the adverts in that manner. Honourable members, somewhere there is just one position here and there which is impacting on Parliament issues around documents that we need to produce for members. However, what I'm answering you on is, indeed, once we got the 95 million, like we got the letter in November, we asked the DMs, division managers, again to go back to their requests for critical positions to revisit them. As we speak now, we again revisiting in line of the little injection that we've got from Treasury, which is still not enough. But we are prioritizing, and our colleagues in core, they definitely know, they tell us this is where we should be supporting members, and this committee has said that several times, and we are addressing that. What do we think we should do, co-chair?
Can we ask you to speed up on your answer?
Okay. What do we think we should do? We should actually provide you a comprehensive report on how far we've gone in respect of
addressing those gaps. I think I've covered, yeah.
There were questions around the NRF, there were questions around the skills development, do we contribute, capacitation of staff. Could you answer those questions for us? But can you be very to the point, otherwise we're going to be here forever.
I did answer the...
Did you answer all
yes.
of them?
The NRF answered.
Okay. Then we do as we did before. Honorable Mente, we'll come to you. Is there any follow-up, just one, if you have? September follow-up, just one, on the basis of these, if there is any. Yes, ma'am?
No, just one. You're mentioning travel as one of the contributors to the invoices that are paid differently on in another quarter when they were supposed to be budgeted for the previous quarter. In my understanding, Chair, is that House Chair Trolley, he authorizes travelling and all that, Frolic. it's synonyms. So he authorizes the traveling and all that, and when he authorizes, to my understanding is that everything is done before members leave Parliament. So I don't understand how do you then receive invoices way later, that late that it comes to a following quarter. So can you please just clarify that for me? Thanks.
September, any follow-up if you have? None? That's just one?
Yes. Indeed, when we procure travel, we get quotations, we purchase tickets and everything else. But the final payment that comes from the service provider is not done on the day that we requisition the payment itself. It comes later after the event has happened. And then it goes into our workflow. So it's not an immediate transaction.
Honorable Masondo, you have three questions. Before, is anybody else that would want to? And then Honorable Gabaza. We'll come back to you guys. Masondo, you'll have three, and then Honorable Gabaza.
Yes. Thank you very much, Chairperson. First, just to say that on the question of filling of critical posts, I really do empathize with some of the issues you've had to deal with. But some of these issues really do need to be addressed, and the sooner they are addressed, the better. I guess this, from my point of view, there's need to do a thorough review, and we need to ensure that certainty is brought into the picture, and that the generalization of some of the posts is really stopped, because it causes many problems as we go down the road. I just want to ask you to clarify how many posts do we have where the individuals who are acting and have been there doing that for months. And how many individuals act in various capacities, just one person? I know there's one particular individual who's been utilized quite a lot, acted as a lawyer, and so on, did evidence, etc. I don't have to go into details, but I'm sure you get what I'm saying. We need to clarify that. What we also need to clarify is when is what post going to be sorted out. Just the timelines of here are these 33 individuals. They shall be not the general response that we give it, but that they are at various stages of being resolved. But some timelines of sort, one page that says this is what it will take by this particular time, this and that shall have been done away with. Otherwise, the problem perpetuates, and it goes on and on.
Very much, Honorable Kabat.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. I just want to ask, where you indicate that an overspend happened because the payment was done in another quarter, because the service was done in the previous quarter, but the payment happened in another quarter. How do you effect the shifting of funds, and where does it show shifting of funds from this quarter where it was planned, executed, but not paid into, so that you justify in a visible manner the what then becomes an over expenditure in another quarter? Second question, Chairperson. I see on slide 18, capital expenditure. It seems you have exhausted the budget for the year. Does it mean that you are done with your capital expenditure now? There is no other items linked to capital expenditure for the fourth quarter, so that you because I see you say 101 for the third quarter, and then that's 100% of the fourth quarter, if I'm reading that correctly. And lastly, Chairperson, if you could explain under economic classification that last line where you're saying the 5% overspend of that 105.
Slide
19.
Okay.
Is optional staff salary savings in December. What does that mean? If it means, I read it from a layman's point of view, it's optional savings month to month accumulating into December, something to that effect. Is there no way of recording it somewhere else, but keep it as a record of Parliament in these finances? Because otherwise it means so long as members, staff members have optional savings, you will have a perpetual overspend, record of overspend there. If you could explain that as well.
Thank you, ma'am.
CFO will take the last question on salary savings. Let me take the one on Honorable Masondo. You're right. The other thing that I need to add, Chairperson, co-chairs, we have 23 weeks turnaround time to fill a position. However, we do have challenges. An example is exactly what you were talking about. And some of the challenges is precisely because we are trying to address this five-year contract. It is extremely difficult for people to move outside Cape Town to come here for 5 years. Of course, it is performance-based. However, five-year contract makes people very uneasy. So into the fourth year, person starts going. So we need to correct that. And the executive authority has said some of the things we should deal with is the termist way. What logic does it make that Parliament has got five-year contracts for content advisors and researchers? And that's an area that we're looking at, and the HRE has been asked to deal with those things. And the other point is we tried to appoint a legal advisor for a while. We got about, I think we went through three interviews, primarily because of the unwillingness. And we found that if it's a female having to relocate their family from outside Western Cape, it is completely impossible. So there are certain things that we have to deal with as administration and make recommendations with respect to creating stability, particularly around areas of where Parliament needs services and skills. an HRE in the executive. He's not here today, but he's producing a plan that talks about succession plan, sustainability and stability of employees in Parliament. And then the others, that also talks to the acting, the perpetual acting. That's a major problem that we are aware of. So what can you do with the others?
Thanks, Secretary and Co-Chairpersons, Honourable Members. Indeed, there are colleagues who rather opt to save a percentage of their salaries by not being paid the full salary of a month. However, that does not necessarily exceed the total cost to company of that particular employee, in the sense that even if during the December month one has actually elected to rather withdraw that money during December, it therefore still means by the 31st of March, the total cost of company is not going to be exceeded. Therefore, there shall be no overspending as a result. However, we do take an advice of looking into, because it also disturbs how we actually focus on budget, because staff can rather elect sometimes to withdraw that money in at any given point in time. It could be November, it could be December. But perhaps it can assist us in planning if we then have a proper period to say, if this is meant for December, then let it only be withdrawn at that stage. It is at that stage then we can be able to merge the deduction with regards to the budget. And then there was also another question that was asked on Program 1 with regards to the capital expenditure. Indeed, what they have spent, that is it for the year. They won't procure any more expenditure for that particular program until 31st of March. Thanks.
You know, on that one, let me ask, because I thought our voters or somebody would ask. It's not assisting us to put a line item called CAPEX. We don't know what it means. Because CAPEX could be, is it computers, is it furniture, what is it? Because you see, I'm raising it because you are saying that Program 1, I think it is, Strategic Leadership and Governance, they're done with CAPEX. At some other point you said to us, the reason why you underspent on CAPEX is because you need to buy computers. Are you saying to us that governance and leadership are not going to get any more computers? So that 25 million for computers is going to everybody else other than leadership, and because that's what you're saying to us. Now, you must be very clear when you talk to this committee in terms of what you're saying to us. I'm saying, you said there's a slide that you've underspent. You've only spent 25% under CAPEX. The reason is because you haven't purchased computers. That's what you've said. Now you're saying to us, in governance, they're going to get nothing else because they've overspent based on the question raised by somebody. I'm asking you the question. Does it mean of that 12 million or odd that you're now going to use for your CAPEX, and in the main is for computers, are you saying none of that is going to be allocated to Program 1? Is that what you're saying to us?
Thanks, Chair. What we can do is to break down the CAPEX per office so that where we have got computers that are going to be procured under ICT, then we can be able to say, however, even if they're going to get computers but they are not budgeted within the program because they are actually centralized. But you're right in the sense that the CAPEX may also include other items like furniture and the like, and that is the one we're referring to. But I think it will assist, and I agree it will assist, if we actually break down what then is that CAPEX. Because indeed, then you will still have computers but budgeted under ICT. Thanks.
Can we just for future reference, and I don't know how possible it is, but it was raised before you came in. In the interest of effective oversight from our side and transparency from your side, can you give us monthlies per line item? In other words, you know, where I come from, there was something called a chart of accounts, literally a line item for everything. Can you do this in that fashion so that we can see where you're taking money from? If you're overspending on compensation, where did that money come from? And we can't see it in this fashion. So we'd want you to do us quarterlies per your chart of accounts, line item, so that we can interrogate why you're taking it from item 1 to item 2. Okay, could we do that going forward? All right. Then, Honorable Masondo, have you got any one follow-up? And then, Honorable Gabaza, any one follow-up? And then we'll get a new round of hands, starting with you, Co-Chair. Any follow-up, Masondo?
No, that, I don't know that you can answer now, really. But that one page that says where the time, what the timeline is, when will what post?
I'm hoping that you're taking a note of it. That's something that they need to give to us. And as per normal, within 14 days, if you can give us the time frames of when do you expect to fill which post. Gabaza, any follow-ups?
The first question, Chairperson, was not answered. Let me give you an example on... Where I was asking, if you say an item was budgeted in Gota 2, for instance, and the task was executed, but the problem due to invoicing, it was paid in another quarter, which in that quarter, the third quarter, it then reflects as an overspending. Where do you show the shifting of the funds that were not spent in the second quarter? And then went into the third quarter because that's when the payment was done, and that then becomes kind of an over expenditure in the third quarter. If you look at, for instance, Office of the Institutions Supporting Democracy, that kind of an example, and it's not the only one, there are a couple of others.
It will help, coaches, what we will do. For every area that looks like that, we'll actually go get the projections and get the expenditure and the final settlement of that, so that we show you that this division had projected to spend 100,000 here, didn't spend it. Did they move it into the next month? Because then it has to show when expenditure happened. That's where we reconcile, and each division manager has to do the expenditure against the projection on a monthly basis. So what we will do, we'll add it as an annexure when we report next time.
The reason we asked that question is it's not only did you move it. You see, sometimes you simply rob Peter to pay Paul. You don't pay the travel, Peter must pay salaries. And that is why the chart of accounts assists us, that you don't deliberately not pay for something because you want to pay something else, and you tell us, oh, no, because they gave us the invoice later. We are going to deal with you harshly. We are going to deal with you harshly as far as it comes to oversight. Just be warned. Co-chair, and is anybody else besides new hands, then we'll go for old hands. What CNAs and you, like me, you find this time? Can we go for people that have done it before?
Yeah.
All right. Then we will go to September, and then Isaac, you fine? Okay, September, and then Mente. Three each, co-chair, September, and Mente.
I just need assurance that the revised APP, as you indicated earlier on, has indeed gone through all the necessary approval processes. I just need that assurance. Secondly, in terms of percentage performance, as captured percentage-wise, you are indicating in some areas that you were able to perform all that you had to do in terms of indicators for this quarter. But when you captured the percentage, you are not saying 100%. You are saying something else, no? And you are saying that because apparently there are these other indicators that relate to annual targets. And I thought because those are for the annual target, there's no need to factor the percentage performance as far as they are concerned. Your concern for now should be with regard to those that have to be performed or the targets that have to be met this particular quarter. If all those are met, so it means it's 100%. So I'm getting confused a bit because that is not the picture I'm getting from your slides, from your presentation. If you could please clarify that. And if I may also take you back to the issue we raised earlier on around women's parliament, the explanation you gave about you having to pay for provinces and then later having to recoup the monies from the provinces, that explanation is not part of what is here. And I thought it's very critical, it's very important that it be part of the notes here. No? And having said that, let me draw your attention to, I think it's slide 23. Slide 23, under program 2, administration, yes, program 2, yes, under administration. There's legislative sector support. There you are saying the low spending is the result of the cancelled sector programs as well as the Women's Parliament, which was converted into a seminar. That's where I got this, no? And indications are that the office will have underspending at the end of the financial year, and the amount will be available for use in the next financial year. If you could please juxtapose these two and explain what is what here. Sure.
Honorable September.
Thank you, Chair. My first point is a suggestion that I wish to make. Chair, having listened to and received your presentation on the third quarter, which obviously you would agree with me is a good indicator of where we're going to. Are we on track or not, and so on. I want to suggest, Chair, that because of the way they put their strat plan, their APP, you then report on every time you meet with us in that manner. Here is your difficulty. All the questions that everyone has asked relates to the fact that your reporting format does not provide us sufficiently, whether it's with line items and so on. So I want to suggest that you consider, which in any event Treasury recommends and encourage everyone to do, and that is to review how you report your quarterly reports, to move away from the way you have structured in your APP. So your APP has to change. When you come back to us on your APP, if you can change your APP so that your quarterly report can then inform us on the basis of providing us with much better information that we can track and monitor sufficiently. The questions we ask, where do you take the money from, and so on. So all of that, and what the co-chair has asked, if we can consider that one, so that your quarterly can be tracked sufficiently in a manner that is supposed to. That's the first suggestion that I want to make. Chair, just by the way, because you have not been able to sort out your issue at WITS and UJ, you have now caused them to miss their target, what they're supposed to give to us. We saw that today, that you have caused them to drop their target. And then, Chair, all of that relates to that. Can you inform us, those that have transgressed, if any, what consequences did they have? And lastly, Chair, there's a report that you brought to Parliament at the end of last year that was led by Mutlante, previous President, Deputy President. Where and how do you factor in those issues that are being raised or possibly going to be decisions or might not be decisions and so on? And then I think what you should consider also, I think there's a better way that you can sort out linking up your library so that members can have much better information. WITS is pleading that Parliament does not want to merge between yourself and themselves, because sometimes we have got to go outside because your facilities are not sufficient yet. We can talk about it outside of this meeting. Thank you, Chair.
Susmente.
Thanks, Chair. No, firstly, Chair,
Susbaby, please finish us with the times or dates when you will be meeting the executive pertaining to the insourcing. And secondly, on goods and services, you know, goods and services, Chairperson Vincent will tell you, are the best place to hide irregularities. And if they are not detailed, they raise suspicions. So in the very same breath, can you at least unpack goods and services? What are they? Because you said even the contracts, they are in goods and services. So also on goods and services on page 33, you are saying the spending of the goods and services is 93%, but at the end you're saying it's 61% of the annual budget to date, which is very good. Then the 7% underspending for the third quarter is a result of unpaid invoices for services rendered, and indications are that the full goods and services budget will be spent at the end of the financial year. So the likelihood is that at the end of the financial year, when you have to pay everything, you might overspend. So when you are overspending at that moment, where will you be getting the money to pay the overspending of the goods and services? And what are those goods and services that we are talking to? Are they critical? Are they really useful to Parliament? And then on the compensation of employees on the very same page, you are indicating something that is called optional staff salary savings that led to the overspending of 9%. Can you explain what is optional staff salary savings that you paid, which led to the overspending of 9%? Lastly, Chair, page 4. You're saying 2018-2019 budget has been reduced by 2.3 million with respect to medical aid contributions of former Parliament employees. So who's footing the bill for them now, if ever that is reduced? Because PAMED has increased up to 14% from this year. So it's a gray area for me. Can you just clarify then, are those members dead that are not going to be getting anything, or are you taking the money away from them altogether? Thanks.
Can I ask my two questions, then we wrap it up? I think we've had enough for the day. All right. I've just got two questions, and mine are mostly follow-ups. Can I take you, Honorable Sec, to slide 26? And you show there, I'm linking it to what Honorable September was saying. Slide 26, you show research 100% per quarter. Earlier on, Honorable September was saying she's got a problem with your critical skills because you're not showing, and I think somewhere you spoke yourself about the fact that you haven't filled in researchers. If you've got a vacancy in researchers and you're showing us 100% for the year, how is that possible? Unless you're saying some researchers are doing twice the amount of work because there's a warm body not there. I'm failing to understand that you've got a shortage of researchers in terms of capacity, and yet on performance you're showing us 100%. And I can tell you, because I'm a chair in many committees, we have serious problems with research capacity. Again, I'm saying to you, when you give us your information, please give us factual information or give us no information. I'm being very serious. Give us factual information or don't give us information at all. Because to say you are achieving 100%, and when I ask members, they prove that you're not achieving 100%, then it's in a problem. Then we have a problem. So I'm asking, how do you get 100%? If you had 100%, 20%, 100%, I can understand. But you can't have 100% throughout the year. And I can tell you that we've got research capacity constraints or problems. So that's the first question. That if you don't want to answer it, at least just take note of it and say, beware that that's where we're at. That's the first one. And then the second one, if you can go to slide 14, and I know you've answered it. I'm just following it up on the basis of your answer. You know, when we spoke about the overspend for this quarter, you indicated it was because, Kabad had asked the question, it was because there was traveling in the main from quarter one that you didn't do and you did in quarter two. I can understand that for Rennie's and Thomas Travel and the big people. But you say payment was due to outstanding travel invoices and public hearing type of thing. Are you suggesting that even when we do our public hearings and those things, we're using the big and we're not using the small? That's just the question I'm asking. Because if you are, then I've got to ask the question, when are we going to use the small guys? When are we going to use... If we are using small guys, and you're saying to me, they do the service in quarter one, but you only pay them in quarter two, then we've got a problem about not paying small guys in 30 days. Either way, you're damned. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you're using small guys and you're not paying them within 30 days, you've got a problem. If you're doing local travel and you're not using small guys, then you've also got a problem. Because I don't want you to be using Thomas Cook if you're taking somebody in East London from spot one to spot two. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you don't have to respond to them. All we're saying to you, in our oversight, we're going to influence the way you do business on the basis of what government priorities are. That's what we're going to do, and that is why we're asking for line items. So if you come here with that type of thing, understand we're either going to send you back or we will deal with you acting secretary in terms of not doing what you're doing in terms of ensuring that the assets of the state are used optimally. We do that with accounting officers. We are going to do that with you. If you're using money to pay Thomas Cook when you can pay some small company, then we must ask the question, honorable members, are they using our assets optimally? Are we transforming? So that is why we're asking you for more detail, because we are serious about, if we want to transform departments, we're going to transform you first. That's what we're going to do. We're going to transform you first. So on those two points, I was just raising it so that you understand. Are you doing small business? And if you're doing them, pay them within 30 days. If you're doing big business, start considering doing it with small business in terms of travel. In terms of capacity, if there's a research vacancy, don't come and tell us that you've achieved 100% on research, unless this is research other than research that is supposed to support committees. You could answer all those questions, and then we will wrap up thereafter.
Coach, I think, thank you very much for those comments. I think what would make the committee more happy about is for us to look at the areas you raised, provide you with details, and try and answer them all here. Because the more answers we give, honorable members are going to ask us more questions. So we're going to group all the areas we're talking about, and then explain the turnaround time. So what is it that we exactly measure? Do we measure the product or do we measure the turnaround time? So we will have to go back and give you a narrative of all these areas that you have raised, and of course the details thereof in the next 14 days. I'd rather handle it like that, except for one point, which I can dispose of. Well, the APP review was done. It was approved by executive authority. It was presented and tabled on the ATC, and then it was submitted to the Joint Standing Committee, I think last year. We do have the dates thereof. We can resubmit back to honorable members.
Also dispense with, instead of giving us 14 days, I think honorable member wasn't here, around the staff savings. I know you did answer, but for the benefit of honorable mentor was not in, if you could answer the staff savings one. We don't want 14 days, that you can deal with now. And also the medical aid. What happens to those medical aids? I think was the question you was asking. If you could answer those two, the rest, I have no problem if you give it to us in writing.
CFO will talk to the other one that he had responded to. The 2.3 million in our presentation is the medical aid support of former employees, retired employees, and employees, and beneficiaries of employees that have passed on. That's what we're reporting here, and that's 114 of them. So it has nothing to do with PAMED and members.
That's what we're referring to on with respect to the 2.3. Then I can actually deal with the high-level panel report. I must say to honourable members, there's a parliamentary process where both the secretaries of the NCOP and NA have put together a draft report on the process that will be implemented by Parliament to deal with the recommendations of the high-level panel report. So currently we are not referring to it at all, and we're not reporting on it at all. CFO, do you want to talk to
Thanks, Chair. Staff savings relates to the composition of employees, where some of our colleagues rather opt not to get their full 12-month salary monthly. What they actually opt to do is to rather put a saving. For instance, if somebody's salary is 10 rands, then they will say, give me 9 rands, and the 1 rand, give it to me at the end of the year, which is the calendar year. So that is where then we are actually saying it is also prudent for us to assess the possibility of, rather than allowing that to just continue where one can just exercise that option at any given point in time, which causes a problem with regards to the projection of when is it going to be paid, is an option we believe we may want to engage and look into how can we align so that at least at that particular period, everybody is expected to exercise their right of withdrawing that money. However, it does not result into an overspending on total cost of companies, because what one salary is, irrespective of when it's going to be paid, that's how much is going to be paid at the end of the financial year. Thanks.
Final one, if you can answer, was the Women's Parliament. Was it converted? Was it changed? Was it what happened to the Women's Parliament?
I did try to answer it, but it was converted into an international women's conference. We're referring to it there as a seminar. I think the word seminar is the one that's confusing. We hosted international women's conference here, where we invited the legislatures that brought in a number of women from various provinces. So they didn't have their parliamentary sectoral individual women's conference, women's day. That's what it is. However, what I will do is provide the breakdown, like it was requested by members, of the budget. You don't want that. Okay.
All right. Thank you very much. I'm hoping that, Darren, you've taken notes, but some of the things that you need to give us in writing is certainly, can you really look at the critical posts as you've had them there, according to what members have said, and the timeline as to when they're going to be filled, because that was an HR-type matter. That we would like you to give us in writing. And of course, we're making a suggestion that you go chart of accounts fashion, so that we deal with what Mente is talking about, not goods and services, but what makes goods and services. So in the absence of you saying in your response you can't do it, we're accepting that that's what's going to happen in the next one. We are also, in the absence of you saying you can't, and you'll have to convince us why you can't, instead of giving us only Q3 or Q4 when you come in Q4, you're going to have Q1, Q2, Q3, and then have Q4, so that we are able to see what is happening. So those are the type of things we're talking about. Of course, the APP realignment and all those type of things that members have spoken about. And then I think the most important one is the one that was raised by Honorable Waters. Don't give us a document and withdraw it after 2 weeks, because once you give it to us, it becomes public. And any and all withdrawals doesn't help after that. It's there, it's out there. It just makes us suspicious as to why you're changing it after having sent it out. Please make sure that your quality control is what is expected of MPs, or expected for MPs when they get them. And we say that to everybody else. Mente will tell you that that's what we do in other committees. Having said that, on the skills levy, yes, they will. No, I'm saying we'll take notes. We will, I was just giving them the top level. But between Darren and Cindy and myself, if necessary, we will give them what we think you should give us in writing within 14 days. Honourable members, we meet for the next quarter in the next quarter. So this is the last we see of these members. I can also indicate that maybe Speaker and Chair would be invited to the next meeting, because they had made an undertaking that we have regular interactions. Talking about the next quarter, we will look at that for members so that there's peace, that we meet with them on a regular basis. We don't know the dates right now, but we'll give them the dates. It's certainly the last for this quarter. We'll see you in the next quarter. Thank you very much, Sek and your team. Thank you very much to honorable members. the meeting stands adjourned.
Yeah, I'm going to go to the next one.